Today in our Christian year, it's the Sunday that we call Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. So it's the Sunday that we remember the baptism of Jesus and that Jesus himself was baptized. And we have the opportunity then to remember our own baptisms. So this morning, the sermon is going to be full of who we are as United Methodist and how we understand baptism as United Methodist. So you might remember that back several months ago, we did a series about who we are as United Methodists and what we think and what we believe. I didn't include a sermon then about baptism because it didn't exactly fit, because I wanted to wait until now when we have the opportunity to remember our baptisms. So if you're a note taker, you might want to take some notes today, because perhaps some of the questions that you've had or you've wondered or you've been curious about, what is it that United Methodists believe about baptism? I hope to share that with us this morning. Our sermon's based on the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. I'll begin at verse 4 with John the Baptist, who is baptizing others and then baptizes Jesus. So the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning at verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. The shelves are beginning to be full of Valentine's treats. Valentine candy, Valentine decorations, Valentine presents or Circes that you might purchase for someone. One thing that we're going to see over and over and over again during this commercial season of Valentine's Day is the phrase, "You are mine." Maybe you remember giving a heart to somebody at some point in your life, and on that heart or on that card it said, "You are mine." And what you wanted to convey to that person is that they're special to you, that you've chosen them, you've chosen and wanted to be in a relationship with them. Maybe you've received something that said, "You are mine." And you kind of got that special feeling inside that made you feel like, gosh, somebody really cares about me. Somebody is choosing me. Somebody wants to be in a relationship with me. You are mine. We encounter these words in the Gospel of Mark today at Jesus' own baptism. We don't literally hear the word, "You are mine," but we hear the word, "You are my Son." Before we dig in and talk about that, I want to sort of set the stage for us in the Gospel of Mark. So in the Gospel of Mark, we don't find a birth narrative. We don't find, like we do in Matthew and Luke's Gospel, we don't find a story about the birth of Jesus. We don't read of shepherds and angels and magi and Mary and Joseph. We don't find those in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark simply enters into the beginning of its gospel and talking about John the Baptizer, as the Gospel of Mark calls him. John the Baptizer. You'll remember that this is Jesus's cousin. This is Jesus's cousin, John. And John has been sent into the world to prepare the way for Jesus. And so when we enter into the stage of the Gospel of Mark, we read John saying, "Prepare the way for the Lord." Mark is writing to mostly an audience of Roman Christians. And there was a Roman tradition that any time there was someone official who was coming into people's midst, any time someone important was getting ready to show up on the scene, there was an announcer that came ahead of them. There was this announcer that came ahead of them that said, "Hey, everybody pay attention. Somebody really important is getting ready to enter the scene. Hey, everybody watch out. The person that we've been waiting for is now here to speak to us or is now here to talk to us." So there's always this announcer in Roman culture that says that it's now time. Come on, people, you got to listen up. The person you've been waiting for is now here, and they're here to share with you. So that's who John the Baptizer plays that role in the life of Jesus. John the Baptizer, as Jesus' cousin, comes to say to the people, "Hey, people, come on, get ready. This Jesus, this Messiah, this baby that was born, Emmanuel, God with us, hey, listen up, he's here. And you're going to need to start listening to him." John's job was to announce and to prepare the way for the people to receive the message of Jesus. So John was baptizing people. He was baptizing them and inviting them to confess of their sins and to repent and to have a changed life. And he says, "I'm baptizing you with water. But the one who's going to come after me, the one that I'm here to prepare the way for, he's not only going to baptize you with water, but he's also going to baptize you with the Spirit. He's going to gift you with the Holy Spirit. I'm preparing the way. I want you to get ready. Jesus is coming." And then Jesus enters into the scene. And Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And John's a bit taken back because John knows that this Jesus has been born Emmanuel, that literally means God with us, that this Jesus is God in flesh, this Jesus is God himself, revealed through the form of an infant that was named Jesus and that now has grown to a moment that Jesus is ready to be baptized. And he's coming to John for that baptism. And John says, "Wait a minute, I'm not worthy to do this. My job was simply to prepare the way for you." Well, I imagine, we don't know from the Gospel of Mark, but I imagine there's a side conversation between John and Jesus that says, "John, you got to do this. You got to baptize me because part of who I am has got to be revealed through my baptism. So yes, John, you've been sent here to prepare the way for me and you're doing that, but you've got to baptize me, John." And so John does, and he baptizes Jesus, and as Jesus is coming forth from that baptism, coming forth from the water, the scripture tells us that the heaven is torn open. The heaven is torn open, and a dove descends, and a voice is heard, a voice that says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased." So Jesus' baptism wasn't just like those other baptisms that John had been performing. Something unique, something significant happened. God broke into Jesus' baptism and fully identified to the world around us who Jesus is. God said, "Jesus, you're my son. You're the very one that I've sent to this earth to teach the world about me, to share the good news, to invite people into repentance, to invite them into life-giving relationships. You are my son. You're beloved. You're loved beyond your imagination. And I'm pleased with you, Jesus. I'm pleased with who you are and the work that you will do. So the greatest thing that we learn from Jesus' baptism is about the word identity. Identity. Jesus belongs to God. God is saying to Jesus, you are my son. You are mine. You are mine. In fact, Lauren read for us these words about you are mine when she read from us from Isaiah 43. It says, I have called you by name. You are mine. So God says to Jesus, you are my son. You are mine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in baptism, God does the very same thing for us. God says to us, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. You are mine. And I love you beyond your imagination. In fact, I loved you as I was knitting you together in your mother's womb. And I love you as you were birthed into this world. And I loved you this day, and I'll love you tomorrow, and I'll love you forever. There's absolutely nothing that you can do to have that love that I have for you taken away. You are mine, and I love you. So for those of us who are United Methodist, goodness gracious, sorry, y'all. That season where that tickle just comes right there in my throat. For those of us who are United Methodist, and for those of us who've been baptized, whether as United Methodist or baptized in some other denomination, the root of what is happening is God is saying to us, you are mine. The world is going to try to identify you. The world is going to try to tell you who you are. The world is going to try to define you and place you into some box and make you be who the world thinks that you should be. But God says that's not the most important thing. You are mine. Your identity, who you are, comes from the fact that God says to you, you are mine. So even on the deepest, darkest days, on the most frustrating days, the days when you receive the most challenging and the most difficult news, on the days when you are fed up and tired and worn out and stressed, God says, you are mine. You belong to me. On the days when you are rejoicing and joyful and all is right in the world, God says, you are mine. When the world is crashing and crumbling down around you, you are mine. When you feel as if there is no other hope, God says you are mine. So the greatest thing that happens in baptism and in our United Methodist understanding of baptism is that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about what we bring to baptism. It's not about who we've come from or what we've done or what we've left undone. It's about God. And it's about God saying to us, you are mine. You are mine. We get this from our understanding of what we call prevenient grace. Prevenient grace that goes before any decision that we ever make about God. Any decision that we ever make about God, it's God's prevenient grace that's reaching out to us, that's wanting to envelop us, that's wanting to receive us and invite us to hear that phrase, you are mine. You are mine. It's for this reason that we baptize infants. doesn't matter whether they understand anything about God. It doesn't matter whether they've confessed their sins. It doesn't matter. It simply matters that God is saying to that child, you are mine. You belong to me. I am your God. You are my child. I'm going to love you forever. And those of us who are part of that infant's baptism, we're standing there and we're professing our own faith. We're professing that we know that this God that's chosen us as our, as his own, we're living and trusting in that promise. And we're promising that we're going to help nurture that child in Christ's holy church so that they too one day can respond to God's invitation that you are mine. We wait for them to respond to that. God always comes first. Baptism is about God. Baptism is about God and God saying, you are mine. Friends, sometimes we get into sticky conversations with our brothers and sister Christians about this. They perhaps understand baptism a little bit differently. They understand that in baptism, we've got to first come confess our sins and make a profession of our faith and then allow ourselves to be baptized. We say to that, there's never been a time in our life. There's never been a time in our life that we weren't in the reach of God and we weren't part of who God is. And so God is inviting baptism to happen in our lives. God is inviting us. God is saying to us, you are mine. Then we spend a life growing into what does it mean that you are mine? Think back to those Valentine hearts that you've received or you've given out. When you first gave those out to someone, maybe it meant one thing. Maybe it meant I kind of like you. I might have a little crush on you. You're kind of special. And then over time, that relationship grew. That relationship changed. That relationship developed. And the you are mine that you first expressed to someone now is expressed back to you in different ways. The person is having a chance to respond back to you. You're mine as well. You're mine. So God sends out to us this invitation. You are mine. And then invites us to respond to that kind of relationship. The other thing that we as United Methodists sometimes get into conversations with our brother and sister Christians is how we're going to do this baptism. How it's going to happen. Again, if we say the most important thing is what God is doing in somebody's life and that God is saying that you are mine, then that's why to us the amount of water or the way the baptism happens don't seem to be of primary importance. Because God is saying you're mine. And God can say you are mine with a little tiny drop of water, an entire river of water, a tank of water, or some water washing down our forehead. It's not about the water. It's about the message that God is saying, you are mine. And so for that reason, we as United Methodists baptize primarily through things like the baptismal font that's in front of you this morning, where we take just a little bit of water, and that water comes out and is placed on somebody's forehead, and they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that we can't baptize them in other ways. Absolutely, we can do immersion baptism. It's not going to happen in that font, so we're going to have to find somewhere else to do it. But I, as your pastor, have always been about thinking outside of the box, so we'll think outside of the box, and we'll find somewhere to get you baptized that allows you to go all the way under the water. Again, it's about God and the message that God is saying to you, you are mine. So it doesn't matter the amount of water or the way in which you're baptized. What matters is that God is choosing you as God's child. So your age doesn't matter. Your mental capacity doesn't matter. will baptize all, because God is the one that is offering the invitation. It's not the invitation from me as the pastor. It's not the invitation from you to say, hey, baptism's about me. I've done everything I need to do, and now I'm ready to be baptized. The invitation is from God. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes people are baptized and they profess their faith at the same time. Somebody that is a bit older, that's not an infant, will oftentimes profess their faith, will say that they have chosen that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so then their baptism is a response to that choice that they've made. But nevertheless, the baptism's still not about them. The baptism's about God. And God's offered them that opportunity to make a choice. And God's offered them that opportunity to respond. Baptism's about God. And it's about God saying, you are mine. So the water amount doesn't matter. The way it happens doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. And we as United Methodists also only baptize one time. We don't participate in re-baptism. And the reason for that is we believe that the first time you were baptized, whenever that was, that God said to you at that moment, you are my child. And God got it right that first time. And for us to baptize you an additional time somehow might say, God messed up the first time. God didn't really mean that God was my God and I was God's child. And to that we say no. God doesn't mess up. God says, you are mine. So maybe you're like me. You don't remember your baptism. I was baptized at 4 months of age in Broad Street United Methodist Church in Statesville, North Carolina, by Reverend Dr. Donald Haynes. I don't remember the day at all. My parents remember the day, and I've seen pictures of the day. But I've spent a lifetime growing into the knowledge of God choosing me as God's own child. I've spent a lifetime hearing that God says, you are mine, and I've spent a lifetime responding to that. There have been many, many times since that baptism 41 years ago that I've responded to that offer that you're mine. Where I've confessed my faith in Christ, where I've stood in the gap and acted for mercy and justice, where I've stood before people and professed that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Maybe you remember your baptism. Maybe you remember exactly where you were, and maybe you remember walking down the aisle and ready to come to the water. Maybe you're like my husband Kevin, and that happened outdoors in John's Creek in Caney Fork in the mountains of western North Carolina. And you went out on a cold day and you were dunked all the way under the water in that river. Regardless of when baptism happened or if baptism has happened for you, however it happened, whenever it happened, God said to you, you are mine. That's what we take away from Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism, we hear this voice that says, you are my child, the beloved, and in you I am well pleased. If you haven't had the opportunity yet to be baptized, I want you to hear me say that baptism is not essential for your salvation. It is not essential for your salvation. Baptism is a way that, as adults, if we choose adult believers' baptism, we are outwardly professing what inwardly we know to be true. So in order to receive our gift of salvation, do we have to be baptized? No. Do we have the opportunity to be baptized? Absolutely. Because what more of an special and amazing way to accept that what we know in our hearts to be true is to allow God to envelop us through the gift of water and say to us, you are mine. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what brought you to this moment, but you are mine, and you always have been. And I want to claim you, and I want you to acknowledge that I have claimed you as my own. The other thing that baptism does is puts us into a family. It puts us into a family that we don't get to choose. It's a family that we call the body of Christ. Because when we become baptized, our identity is then found in Christ. Our primary name is Christian. It's the reason when you're baptized that you're not baptized using your last name. Your first and your middle name are traditionally used at your baptism, because in your baptism, your very last name becomes a common last name to all of us, and that is Christian. Our identity is that we are Christians. So from time to time, I make a list of all the multiple roles that I play in life. That I'm a daughter, I'm a niece, I'm an aunt, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a friend. All of these things that I do, all of these identities that I do. But at the top of all of those identities is the word Christian. Because of my baptism, I developed the name Christian. And there's something different, in my opinion, about being a Christian mom and a Christian daughter and a Christian pastor and a Christian friend than there is simply about being a mom, a wife, a daughter, or a friend. So when we're baptized, we get this new last name, Christian. And you have that last name. And you have that last name. And you have that last name. You have that last name, and I have that last name. The people we like the least, if they've been baptized, they have that last name. The people who disagree with us theologically, politically, ideologically, whatever, they have that last name too. And we become part of a family together. The body of Christ. All of us united together through Jesus, sharing together the last name, Christian. And even in the midst of our disagreements, the one thing that holds us all primary is that God says to us, "You are mine. You are mine." And sometimes it's important for me to remember that when the person that I might disagree with the most is sitting across from me or having a conversation with me or has posted something on Facebook that I really disagree with, it's important for me to remember, just as I heard the words, "You are mine," they heard the words, "You are mine as well." And God has the same kind of love for them as God has for me. God has the same kind of love for you that God has for them, whoever your them is. Today we have the opportunity to remember our baptisms. It's a time for us to reaffirm what God has said to us, that God has said, "You are mine." And it's an opportunity for us to remember that our primary identity is found in the fact that our last name is Christian and that we are part of the body of Christ. So when you come forward in a few moments to remember, what is it that you'll remember? Some perhaps will remember the time and the space and the place. Some will remember the coldness of the water. Some will remember the person who was there alongside of them. Some of us will remember nothing about that actual moment. And yet, I hope when the water's placed on your heads and Pastor Sarah or I say to you, "Remember your baptism and be thankful," I hope what you remember is that you are mine. You are God's. You are mine. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.